Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special extra episode of Story Break, usually a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for an awesome movie, show, or idea. In this case, this is going to be...
This is a Game Gods podcast, Freddy.
Game Gods.
You have ascended to Mount Olympus, Mount Game Olympus, where only the freshest game designers are allowed. Gygax, the wise. Miyamoto, the wise. The Roberto Williams, the very wise, and us three, we have climbed the towers to be game designers.
How's this one? We're three game genies.
Ooh!
Conjure a new game system out of thin air.
Guys, is game genie problematic? Is that not okay now?
It seems a little... I might be...
I don't know what the deal is with genies. That's all I'm going to say.
Why is this extra episode showing up in your feed?
Because when the story boys looked at the breadth of their kingdom, they wept, for there were no more stories to... Just kidding. This is a bonus. This is like a sponsored episode.
Great sponsored. Hell yeah.
This is a little piece of bonus content made possible by Role, R-O-L-E. This is a brand new role-playing game platform that's going to be coming out. They have a Kickstarter that just got funded all the way, and there's still time for you to get in on that. And you're going to hear a little bit more about Role later on in this episode. But for now, thank you, Role, and you can check them out at playrole.com/storybreak. My name is Freddie Wong. One-time professional game designer. I can actually say that.
My name is Will Campos, and I'm a two-time video game writer. I wrote a game for Matt back in the day that he never published, and I wrote a game with my sister that Jacksepticeye played on YouTube, and it got a bunch of views, which was really cool.
I'm Matt Arnold, walking natural 20.
Oh, jeez.
And multiple game designer, EA college campus dude.
T-shirt vendor,
and a Disney Interactive producer, king of Club Penguin, master of Phineas and Ferb, and sometimes purveyor of that Sunny with a Chance of Meatballs action, if you're looking for that on your Nintendo DS. Let's do this.
Matt has a litany of games that he has produced. I at 20th Century Fox, Matt over at Disney Interactive. Matt's games, though, has the ignoble distinction of being once so bad that it ruined a child's birthday party, according to an Amazon review.
A one-star Amazon review. Well, here's the thing. It's like, Roll, we were excited. They were sponsoring us, and we said, look, just... From us to you guys, we love your product, but Freddie and Matt here especially, you know, with our game expertise, we got to tell you, the problem with your product is there's just no fucking good games anywhere. Dungeons & Dragons, garbage. All the tabletop games are garbage. And they said, well, guys, we need some help because we've already put a lot of money into this. We're on Kickstarter. Like, we need some good games. They're like, well, we got you. We can spend at least 1 hour on this.
Just
and we'll come up
out
with
a good
one.
Game. You know, it is truly a, if you build it, they will come. You know, so like, we need to help them out by creating a good game.
And also, by the way, Roll is going to feature a bunch of games from independent creators that look amazing, but we'll get into that in a second. But...
What you're saying that you can only play bad games on Roll is not the copy that they wanted us to kick this thing out with.
You know, listen, that's just going to raise some eyebrows. I want to put those eyebrows back down. So here's the goal. Here's the challenge. We're going to try and come up with the rule set and universe and flavor for a tabletop RPG a la Dungeons and Dragons, a la Call of Cthulhu, or any of the many Grant Howitt one-shots, which we know and love.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer to one of those one-shot ideas.
So we have an hour to do it. The clock starts now. Let's have at it, boys.
All right. So first things first is I was like, do we want to, like, we've already broken all of the greatest stories of all time. Do we want to do, like, one of our classic Story Break episodes as a role-playing game? Or should we do Story Break itself, the greatest podcast of all time, as a role-playing game?
You can be a story boy,
and your job is to come up with a story in 1 hour. Like, you can spec out your writer with different skills, like good idea having, like that would be like a Will class, or like a good at derailing with zany stuff, like that'd be a Freddy class, kind of just, you know, helping out, like that would be the Matt class.
You pitch a joke and you roll a D6, and if it was a 1, 2, or 3, it was funny, and if it was a 4, 5, or 6, you're fired.
Hey, Will, let's go ahead and roll on the encounter table here. Roll a D20 for me. Just give me a D20 roll.
Hold on one sec. I'm going to actually roll a D20. What do we got? I got a natural one.
Natural one. You know what that means? That
You're
means
fired.
Funny green alien.
That means I rolled our Sonic the Hedgehog episode. That's what that means.
So just as an example, maybe for if a listener hasn't really played like a one shot, they might know like Dungeons and Dragons. But like me, when you said we were doing this, my first thought was one of the fun, at least a one shot we had that was a fun idea that I think we want to come up with something at least as clever as this was called Honey Heist.
And this is by Grant Howitt.
Yeah, the whole RPG is that you're bears that are trying to heist a honey convention. And it's a really fun little, like, you know, you play for about an hour or so. But, like, that's such a good concept, right? Like, that's almost a movie in of itself. So, like, I think we want to come up with something that is that sticky, if you don't mind the pun. Roll the dice. Good pun. Natural six. Yeah, so we can do
you
that.
You don't say natural when it's a six, man.
That's true. It's not that impressive. It happens pretty often.
Yeah, you don't go to times. Vegas and play craps and you're like, oh no, I got a natural 12.
Natural black. Natural red. I did it.
Oh my god. What if you went to Vegas, all right, and you were just like the whole time, you're just like, I'm just gonna try to let's do a quick constitution check. I'm gonna roll for craps, everybody. Like, how quick before they're like, sir, we need you to leave Little Caesars is a piece of shame. I'm like,
I just rolled a that red.
Sir, this is a Little Caesars. Why Caesars. You need to move your floating craps game out of our Little Caesars at once. All right, here's the RPG. You're three kids who want to get into a casino to gamble, but it's actually a Little Caesars, and in the game you're stacking up on each other like a new trench coat or something.
Okay, the idea of like four kids sneaking into like a strip club or something is pretty funny. Like four kids sneaking into something, or like sneaking into an R-rated movie. I don't know. That doesn't seem like it would last
so just
very long.
Just really quick, just something that is a fun idea that you've stumbled on that I don't think I've ever seen any of these, you know, dice roll-y RPGs do. Splitting your game mechanic into two parts, which is like the mm-hmm. first part is to get into the craps table, and then the second part is just the rules of craps, where you are then get to try and get as much as you can over that you've
that
accumulated.
That does cut down our work by
That's
half.
True.
And everyone yeah. loves craps. That's a game that tons of people spend a lot of money on. So as far as games go, pretty tried and true.
What if it's your three kids who are trying to sneak into a Dungeons and Dragons game?
Oh, God.
All right. I don't want to just reskin Honey Heist. So like,
obviously
let's.
Not, but.
But okay, so here's what, if I were to look at what Honey Heist has. So if you get another one by Grant Howitt that we've played on Dungeons and Daddies is The Witch is Dead, which is like mm-hmm. you're the three animal familiars of a witch that's been murdered by a witch hunter, and then your job is to go kill the witch hunter. So like mm-hmm. what both of those systems have, and then he has another one about goblins that we played that was pretty fun. And what's interesting about them is he gives you like, especially in like a one-shot setting, like a very specific, very fun goal, right? That's yes. a little bit yes. like, you know, what he taps into really well is there's the fun of coming up with a plan, and then there's the fun of that plan like going disastrously wrong because you are, again, like bears are not good at sneaking in to a yeah. convention. Tiny animals are not good at killing a badass witch hunter, right? So if we were going to grift one thing, we could grift that kind of that energy. We could make this like a Grant Howitt cover, so to speak.
Like, again, Dungeons and Dragons is like an entire world because it needs to sustain hundreds of hours of story and stuff like that. A one shot allows you to come up with like a really fun, different left field sort of take on a tabletop. Like, you can only do probably bears robbing a honey convention once, but that's like a great time, right? That's like a fun Saturday yeah, morning cartoon yeah. of a movie.
What I love about his systems is that they steer into the inherent conflict of tabletop RPGs, which is like anyone who's played straight ahead Dungeons and Dragons knows that like when you're trying to have a cool Lord of the Rings power fantasy, like everyone has different ideas on how that should play out.
Yes,
and a lot of
yes,
times
yes.
there those the conflict in the like again, you're like, I am going to be the brave knight who heroically saves the village. And then your friend who's playing a rogue is like, I'm going to be the scheming rogue who defrauds the entire village. And then that's inherently comedic, like those two things clashing against each other. So like he kind of,
yeah, it lends to comedy more than it does necessarily to big dramatic moments, even though, you know, if everyone's on the same page, it can be like that. But in my yes. experience, it's mostly it's a comedic side of things that's the more fun. And by the way, to wit, I think a lot when people look at these Dungeons and Dragons podcasts, a lot of the moments that stick out are these big comedic moments that are yes. like sort of these legendary comedic moments there.
So
legendary. What's a fun legendary. Thing to be? What's a fun thing to be? It's fun to be a big bear.
I was actually gonna approach it from a different angle, Matt, which okay. was to say, what is a fun thing to do? And then what would be a bad thing to be if you wanted to do that fun thing? Do you know what I mean?
So sex and a porcupine.
Oh god.
What?
this game is called On the Origin of Species.
How do they do it? Like, they're all spiky. Okay. What's a fun thing to do? So,
and also, by the way, and a not very effective thing to be that also allows you to kind of fill in some imaginary stuff in it, right? The idea of being able to be like different types of bears, for example, is something that you roll for at the very beginning of Honey
Heist. Well, it's
also
what you are inherent creates the inherent conflict, because right, you're also trying to create a game system that starts right away. So like you don't, the game master doesn't have to explain much when it's like you're bears and you're heisting convention or
and also,
again.
And also gives you some guidelines for role play too, right? So, it gives you some explicit markers.
I have a title. Let me know what you think. Okay. Snail Team 6.
Okay, so snails. Super slow. And what are you trying to do?
Snails might be tough. Like, snails, there's not a lot of... Okay.
But
like,
wait, okay. Seal what Team 6 and your sea creatures, and you have to still get on land and assassinate... No.
Okay, no, being seals is pretty good because I was thinking about, like, finding Nemo, like, being fish and, like, trying to find, like... somebody or something like that, like maybe underwater is like a fun world to explore. Though I'm kind of think I want to think about snails for a second, because like maybe this will be cool, but like right as a kid you probably at some point in your life picked up a snail and chucked it, right?
Mm-hmm. No, like, me never.
No,
I don't know that. No. I did either. I was too grossed out by snails, but I was too gross. Learned something about Matt today.
I didn't even want to touch bugs.
Oh, we had tons of snails like where I grew up. So like, you know, when I was, especially when I was really young.
So that made it okay.
No. When you're young, you're like, no, it's shitty. I feel bad about it after. It's like, you know, you're a kid. You fucking pick up a snail, like, oh, and you just chuck it into the, I mean, I lived like on a foresty hillside. So you just chuck it in the woods. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The idea of like, there's five snails sitting down, and then, like, a giant kid just picks up one of the snails and chucks it. Like, for a snail, that kid threw, like, 30 yards. But that's, like, that's Lord of the Rings, right? Mm-hmm. That's, like, an adventure. That's, like, it would have taken that snail, like, a month to move up the hillside. So, like, the idea of, like, that simple of a conceit where it's, like, a kid came and threw one of your snails up the hill or something like that, and you gotta go save him or something. I don't know.
I still don't know if snails are that fun to pretend to be. That's my problem.
Like Frogger. How about like you're a bunch of frogs that gotta get somewhere?
That's just a bad version of an already boring video game.
How dare you call Frogger boring? That's true. That's true.
What is the fantasy? Let's tap into the fantasy. What do we want to be?
Let's pivot back out. So, like, the other part of Snail Team 6 is that, like, being a commando team is fun, right? Like, you're like, all right, we're commandos. We got to go in and do a commando mission. Like, that was kind of what I was going for. To get back to the verb of it, like, what's another verb? Like, again, heisting is cool, right? Like, getting revenge on it. Like, plotting a murder is inherently dynamic. There's a lot of ways that can go.
Yeah, there's entire movies about heists. There's entire movies about trying to commit, like, a murderer. And the planning that
How
goes into it.
How can you do Top Gun, but as birds? Can you do like a bombing run? Can you like...
Yeah, but then I'm like, it's just like, all right, you flew well or you didn't fly well. It's like, again, there's like...
Yeah, that's fair. But that's like every tabletop thing. It's like you open the door good.
The planning part of it, I have a tough time with. If we're going with this kind of rubric that we've painted ourselves into.
No, you're right. You're right. The Air Force doesn't plan anything. They just hop into ships.
They certainly don't in Top Gun. It's true. Like, let's go fly in a straight line to the bad guy and then do loop to loops until one of you explodes.
I think there are planning scenes, but they're mostly filled with Tom Cruise looking at the woman and then Iceman rolling his coin over his knuckles.
In one of the newer Battlefield games, there was a video on YouTube of it was an Air Force pilot or a Navy pilot like talking about the thing. And he's like, this is something that's in the video game, but makes no sense, where the entire briefing is given to you as you're walking to the plane because the game recognizes that briefing scenes are boring. So they're like, all right, we're going to be doing this mission. And then he pauses and he's like, you would never talk about this before you like are on the walk to it. Like you would sit down and have maps and shit.
Well,
like,
my favorite version of that is when they're doing it in the airplane right before they're going to jump out of the plane. That's the funniest one. It's like, or they do that in Interstellar where it's like, now that we're in space and about to go through a wormhole, here's how relativity works. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Well, that's the famous scene in Captain America, like when he's going to dive out. It's like, here's the plan now. It's like, cool. I'm going to jump out. Thanks for telling me.
Okay, what if it's that? What if the game's called So Here's the Plan?
Okay.
And you start out in an airplane, and then you all collaboratively come up with what the mission briefing is, and then you jump out and have to accomplish it.
Like, you have to come up with three things, like, right? It's like, you're setting yourselves up to be, like, you're parachuting into enemy territory. There's three things you need to do. So it's, like, a little bit like maybe World War II commandos or something like that, mm-hmm. behind enemy lines, occupied France.
Okay, what I like about something like that, let's say you are a bunch of, like, we can figure out if it's more fun. fun if it's like some sort of animal or something else. So let's just say we're all Captain America on a
superheroes.
The hatch of the door has opened and we're on a cargo jet. And then the DM's like, here's the plan. And maybe the first part of the game is a fun little thing where, like, I wonder if there's like, can you do like a Mad Lib type thing? And then the plan he reads is obviously going to be completely nonsense. This is going to be like insane, like what you have to do. And that's kind of like the starting point of it.
So playing superheroes is fun, right? Because you can have a built-in, I'm an ex-superhero, but here's my weakness, or here's the thing that I'm not good at, right? So that's
what's fun about Here's the Plan is that you can also do that the DM is the other person on the line, like in Metal Gear Solid or whatever. Like, contextually, it's always like you can call in, like the DM is telling you or informing you like what's happening because he's the person on their side line, or like it's like the radio, you know, the radar
it's
person.
It's got kind of like a Dirty Dozen type flair. Like, you know, like if you're, this is like inherently like it's, you know, a rescue mission, or you got to blow up a dam, or you're going to have to, you know, do some kind of like caper. Yes.
Yeah. There's a whole range of cool things that you can do. You know, like there's, it could be a different setting, and then the goal could be something explicitly different. But there's a twist side of it that's always an aspect of these as well that can be sort of randomly determined that the DM
Well, yeah, one of the things a lot of these things do is not just, I think a few of his games do it. It's also from Fiasco. Like, tons of one-shots do this, which is like, there's like a table of things, you know, and then you roll a dice. So like, the space one that we played also did something like this, where it's like, you know, 1 through 6, you know, you have like rescue mission or whatever it is. Like, you have 6 different options and you have like, you know, save a prisoner or whatever it is, and then like somebody rolls a dice 3 times and those 3 things are put together, and that's just your mission. You're kind of thrown into a random mission.
If you were going to do, all right, like in Honey Heist, it's like bear versus human, right? Is like this kind of dynamic you have where it's like if you tilt too much in one direction, you lose your bearness. And I can't remember exactly how it works.
It's, so like, if you, there's bears let you do bear stuff, but you're also trying to pretend to be a human. Mm-hmm. So like human things essentially let you do stealth stuff, and being a bear lets you do strong stuff. So it's like you're kind of going between those two things.
But then I think it's like if you, there's like a risk to both, where like that sort of fail state that
you just
dies,
can't do
like
one thing the whole time. Yeah.
If you can go like feral and lose sight of your mission objective, or you can like forget that you're a bear or something.
You're a bear.
Remember.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how it works. All right, hear me out. If you were going to literally take the Dirty Dozen and you're going to say you are a squad of 6 hardened, you know, wartime criminals, right, who have all been saved from the gas chamber because to go on a mission together, right? And then the binary is between your criminal, like whatever you went to jail for,
hero and criminal.
Yeah, like, you know, or whatever. Yeah, something like that. Your adherence to the mission, and then like whatever it is, your weakness is, that is the thing that got you in trouble. I don't know.
That's kind of cool, because you could all come up with why you were, you know, thrown into the clink, and you can tell like kind of a redemptive arc, because the end of it is kind of a fun, like, ooh, it turns out, and this is how I am able to escape or what have you, or I redeem myself, or I don't redeem myself as a criminal. That's cool. I like that. I like having criminality, and it's like, but your specialty is X that you're bringing to the team. So it's like your first sort of table that you can either pick from or roll a dice to select is like, here's the crime that you're in for. You kidnapped an heiress and held them for ransom.
Although I'm trying to like, I'm trying to.
Everybody's criminals.
It isn't not quite popping yet. I'm trying to feel like what's.
Whenever
like
there's a way, it's going down the Dirty Dozen path for a second. Maybe like, it's like, what's the hook? Like, how do you explain the game in one sentence? Like, what's
you're a bunch of bears trying to steal honey from a honey convention. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe this is a blind alley. I'm trying to think.
Well, so like to me, right, like you have to take it to more of an extreme. You can't just be like a bunch of criminals or whatever. It needs to be you're a bunch of super villains who are now like released from with, you know, or what have you. Like there's a little more of a fantasy element to it.
How about like the core or something? How about like you got journey to the center of the earth? How about like a natural disaster, like Goofy?
That's fun.
Armageddon or the core or something like that.
I love that. And then yes, and it's like science and hunk like are the two sides of it, right? Like hunk is you're gonna punch out the crooked commander and take control of the thing to do the thing, and then science is like you're gonna do something really geeky, right? Like to
should be like NASA versus blue collar or something.
It's Armageddon, the role playing game. Yes, it's astronaut versus drill. You know, like oil driller, right? That's great.
Like that sort of thing.
And then, yes, you've got to come together to save the world. That's very good. Okay, and this you need like good.
A little
this
bit of both of those things.
Yeah, you need both.
That's funny.
And then you could come up with a different silly disaster that's going to happen to the Earth that you have to stop, right?
So yeah, it's okay, that could be the random chart thing, because it's also fun to explain. I like the idea that as the group, you have to explain why NASA's taking you.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like asteroid, but you roll a dice, like asteroid and like marine it wouldn't be marine biologists, but it'd be like asteroid and F1 racers.
It's that's exactly it. Is all the astronauts, like the game's called All the Astronauts Are Dead. So like, then it's like, yeah. All the astronauts died because of blank, so now you've got a blank, right? Like that's the fun of it, right?
The first thing you do is you play the scene of the conference call with the president explaining why you're sending these people instead of the astronauts.
Yeah.
Should it always be asteroid,
this
or do you want to
it could be asteroid, volcano, it could be, you know, like day after tomorrow, so like 2012, it's like the super volcano is going to erupt.
Or you gotta detonate a nuke in the center of the Earth, like, or whatever. Like, it's always like a thing.
Okay, so especially if you're going to do, because, you know, a lot of these will have, like, you roll dice to come up with a narrative based on a bunch of prompts, right? So, like, let's say that we're going to roll 3d6s to come up with, like, what the disaster is, you know, who you are, and how you're going to stop it. Right, like, and this, but stopping it can be by blowing something up or by splitting it in half, by turning something around, like it would be that kind of thing.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, I was just typing down. I got asteroid incoming, every volcano erupting, restart the sun, Earth veering off course.
Yes. Okay, that's 4. Super virus, is that one maybe, or is it, would you want something like nice and big and beefy, like that's like a
it needs
you
to be want big and beefy, and something you can punch.
Yes,
you gotta be able to punch things in all of these.
Alien invasion's probably wrong. That's a little nut. You want to, I think, yes, you want this kind of like moon crashing into the earth. Is that too much like an asteroid though?
That's better than asteroid, because almost.
Moon falling into the Earth, I like moon crashing into the Earth more than asteroid. I'd agree.
Okay,
with
do moon crashing into the Earth. How about the Earth stops rotating?
Okay.
Oh, black hole. How about black hole?
Black hole showed up.
Earth's getting sucked into a black hole. They're all different because Earth stop rotating is going to be like the core. It's going to be all the natural disasters.
Although I would say like this has got to be, each one of them has to kind of evoke like a big different problem that like doesn't require like too much scientific knowledge on that behalf of your players to like conceive of what it means.
Okay, so just really quick though.
I see.
We feel good about this direction?
Yes, this is great. Yes, this rules. The save the world RPG.
So now it's about the systems.
We'll get into the specifics. Because that's what is in front of us now, of how to really kind of dig into this. We'll get into the specifics in just 1 second. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor why this episode exists. We'll be right back.
Would it be too simplistic to always be an asteroid? It just feels like maybe who you are. I'm trying to think of what other variables there are.
Who you are, for sure. And then there's, because it's like, again, a team of hotshot whatevers, right?
NASCAR racers, cowboy ranchers, oil drillmen.
Give me 6 of the most dumb masculine jobs that are out there.
There's stuntman, right? Stunt person. People.
Is the whole team this group?
So that was the other thing I was going to say. Is it the whole team, or is it like your 6 people with a particular set of skills? Because then you could do like, you have like jobs and then you have character traits, like, you know, like hot-headed, you know, cold-blooded, that kind of stuff.
I feel like the team should probably be the same, because I feel like that's the fun of it, is like you're like that team of cowboys, and then you need to have what are the characters, like hot-headed and stuff is good for the individual things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels like everyone will have their kind of own
reason. Because it's like, yes, that's why we needed oil drillers. Armageddon works less if it's like, it's an oil driller and a fighter pilot and, you know.
Sure, yeah. Okay, all right, so let's see. So stunt team. Right, because this is also, it needs to be teams, right?
Like, team. You're the Jackie Chan stunt team.
So stunt team, like sports team for sure, right? Like we need like the world's best football team to go do something.
Feels like a rugby football team. Perfect.
We need oil drillers.
What's like our version of oil drillers? Like, I don't want to just do oil drillers because they did oil drillers.
Truck drivers, right?
Well, that's not a team activity.
No, but they get the 6 best truck drivers. They need truck drivers.
Truck drivers. All
right. Here's what's nice about this is that there's some variability in it if people want to play it that way, right? Because it's like, I'm a truck. I'm a semi-truck driver. No, I'm a, off-road. This is tough because you want to be broad, but also you want to be specific, right? So just right away, right? More fun for it to be oil drillers. It's more fun for it to be F1 drivers Right, as opposed to sports team. But then,
well, yeah,
the
like, yeah, we need something like NASCAR. It's also giving you the flavor, right? Like, the specific things are giving you the flavor. Like, we're doing very clearly big, brash, American, blue collar. It's Armageddon, right? So, like, that's the fun of it, right? Like, it's the space game, for example. Like, the decisions they give you, like, you can't just be anything you want. Like, they very clearly are sexy alien. Like, so it's putting you into a place of, like, this is goofy, pulpy sci-fi. So, like, our decisions of what the things are is telling you what sort of thing you're playing. Which I think the idea is that you're playing underdog, not normally seen as geniuses, up against the man, the bureaucrat, the stupid scientists that don't know what they're talking about, as you're going to go save the day.
Right, right.
So, like, yes, I would definitely do, like, NASCAR versus, like, a sports team, or, you know, you could do a football team or something.
So then what? Like, all right, you're six NASCAR drivers who have to stop an asteroid. How the fuck are you going to roleplay that? Like, what does that mean? This is just the only thing I struggle with a little bit.
We don't have to solve everything, though, right? Like, if I was a bunch of NASCAR driver, the answer would be like, okay, then we need to come up with, how does NASCAR work? Maybe it's, we need to build a car, or maybe there's a spaceship that needs to be driven a certain way in a circle or what have you.
But here's what I was going to say. The thing I would push back on that I think it might be more interesting is if you do that, everyone on the team has a different blue collar job, because then I have a lot more things like, okay, we've got a guy who drives, we've got a guy who does this, we've got someone who does this, we've got someone who does that.
We can do that. I guess it doesn't solve my problem, because that doesn't change to me the structure of what needs to happen next. I'm not concerned. I guess my stopping point isn't like, again, right, it's always the balance. It's like, you give gamers too little and they're just wandering around, they have to come up with anything themselves. If you give them too much and you tell them everything they're doing, there's no creativity and there's no fun. If somebody's like a stuntman, somebody's like a cowboy, I guess like that person may inherently
have...
All right,
to your point, what is the next part of it, right? Like, what is how do you flavor the conflict of the thing? Like, okay, you've got to save the world from it's going to get eaten by a black hole, and you are a team of stuntmen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, here's how I can see separating it.
Yeah.
Again, if you give it like a structure, so you could, if we're leaning into the idea of this big, dumb disaster blockbuster, you essentially do the two parts of the game, I guess three parts, once you come up with your team and like what the situation is. The first step is training, and the second step is the execution.
Sure.
So, like, is there like a fun set of mechanics for these, you know, for, NASCAR, like,
you're playing,
racers?
You're role-playing a training montage, essentially.
Yes, like, yes. If you are going to, and it's a kind of a play both with the dungeon or the game master and the players, which is like, you have to justify how NASCAR racers are going to stop the earth from rotating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we decide that we're all gonna fucking, what we need to do
is drive so fast with fast that the earth spins again.
So then the game master's like, okay, well, if we're gonna do that, we're gonna have to have roads that go around the entire earth so that there's no stopping, because you can't get on a boat. So what we're gonna have to do, so you have to start explaining all these things, and then you're almost essentially designing what the thing's gonna
you
be.
You could do, so Goblin Quest has, like, you break it down into three things you need to accomplish.
Yes.
Because if you're like, all right, just to play through the Armageddon version, like, okay, there's an asteroid heading towards the Earth, and you need to stop the asteroid from blowing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're like, all right, well, we're gonna drill a big hole and drop a nuke in it and blow it up, right? And so what winds up being the, like, how do you then role play that? Like, that's your,
I mean, you have to, I think you have to give it the act break guidepost, right? So it's like, question one you answer is, how do you do it, right? In Armageddon, it's, they need to land a thing on it and drill, and that's how they're going to do it. And you can, it's flexible on that front.
Mm-hmm.
Then part two is preparing for it, but the preparations are never smooth, right? You guys prepare through it and you're ready for it now, but here's the complication, right? Like,
yes,
so and so gets sick, or I don't remember what it is, or the timetable gets moved up, or what have you. There's that side of it. Then the third part there is then you attempting to do it and describing that process, and then it feels like each one of those descriptive processes. Here's the dice roll. It's either a success, a missed success, or a failure, and right, it feels like part of this is you want to be able to. I know it's not fun, but you want to lose members of the team.
Oh, no, you definitely make that fun. There should definitely be a mechanic.
Everyone needs to die, more or less.
You should definitely make a mechanic that you can sacrifice yourself to at any time, roll a natural 20, like, get a perfect roll. So, like, your lives are used.
Oh, you know what's great, too, is you can roll on the table of songs like, "Don't Wanna Close My Eyes," and then the DM plays it on their Spotify account as that death scene happens, so that in any time you decide to, like, get a perfect success on something, you get to roll what's the song, the epic, you know, 90s butt rock song that's playing as you explain that scene.
That could be a kind of thing that the players all agree on, like, what's your team song? like it could be interesting. And then you just have them figure out what the song is, and then you just pull it up on Spotify. And then when someone
And every time you do it, it's like, you must play the team song. Now act the scene out.
It could be a thing where it's like thinking about this training thing, right? Like, what's the consequence for training poorly or training well, right?
Yeah.
And you do your training montage and you have like, all right, we're all going to have to get really good at driving, right? We're all going to have to get really good at that. If each person in the montage has to like essentially roll for what their training is, right? Like, we're going to come up with like, how am I going to, like, you essentially come up with what everyone's role is on the team, right? And then like they have to do a roll for how well their training goes. Their baseline like odds of success are 50%. And then like, you know, like the they're always like the calculations, like this is a 1,000,000-to-1 job. Like you could do like the odds of like survival for your whole team go up and down based on the training. And then that affects the dice rolls and the, I don't know, maybe that's a little arbitrary.
If it's like, yes, you as a team come up with how many players you have, you have four people. Okay. Your training is you need to come up with your plan that involves four things. And yes, each person is going to take one of those things the fastest. If your plan is you're going to speed around the earth fast enough to rotate the earth, just get the earth start spinning again, that gets broken down into four discrete actions that are going to happen during the climax of the game, right? So it's like, okay, one guy needs to go really fast, like that's like the fastest driver is going to do that. They need to build bridges, so the pit crew, that guy's going to be responsible for getting bridges built or whatever crazy things you need
changing the tires out mid-drive.
Yes, exactly. And that is your training montage, is the storytelling of what those actions are, and then some sort of game mechanic that shows how well you did preparing for that. And then we'll have to come up with during the climax, or there should be some sort of complication or something that, you know, changes it, so you're not just doing the same thing again. I don't know.
Okay. Oh my god.
No, that's
this is
not
tricky.
Bad because that sets it up.
The other thing I keep thinking about in these movies is complications, right?
Yes.
And then like there are different levels of complications.
Yes.
There is like a personal psychological complication, right? Like you lose your nerve, right? There is like, you know, the sort of stuff that comes from the brass, right? It's always like, you know, like the president has decided that this is a bad idea. The president has lost faith in you and he's pulling your funding, right? Like, so you have to remove one whole step of your plan. There's like, you know, the disaster itself causes a complication. Like, you know, like a big chunk of the asteroid falls even faster, like, or there, you realize and, it's going to be it's going to take twice as long. There's a, you know, like just the straight up wrench in the works, like that kind of thing. Or like, and then the relationship conflict, right? Like you find out that, you know, the guy on your team is in love with your daughter, right? So it's you essentially have skill challenges, and then like the success or failures, like if you fail, it adds a complication. So like if you do your training, right, like you have like, say it's a four-man team, everyone's going to try to do their thing. If you succeed, you get a bonus. If you fail, you get a complication occurs, right?
I was thinking what could be fun between the training and the climax. You have a table of relationships and a table of characters. So like, you know, daughter, son, spouse, you know, partner or whatever it is, father, you know, or parental figure, whatever, something kind of vague, but like six of those. And then you have like, hates what you do, has never forgiven you, like that sort of thing. Cause you always have like the final after the training, it's always like the wife comes to it and be like, you know, make sure you come back home safe. Or like the dad's like, you know, are you proud of me now, dad? It's like, we'll see if you actually destroy the asteroid, if I'm proud of you or whatever it is. And like, you get that sort of element. So I wonder if whether or not you do well in training essentially gives you a negative version or a positive version of that thing. I don't know.
Are you talking about like a character goal for each player to play?
Yes. Like that's like the thing you get to play. That
it's tough because inherently you want there to be a bunch of drama going into the mission. So it almost feels like if you do well in training, it kind of makes the mission more boring.
Maybe it gives you like an inspiration or something like that. Like, it, you know, it can just give you an inspiration role or something.
Oh, that's cool. You get a bonus to,
we'll call it like a hero role or some shit, whatever's thematic.
Training should always have complications. There should be a whole bunch of stuff. It's just that you can do better in that final part. You're building your boons up so that your DM could grant you those kinds of moments so that, you're less likely to just abjectly fail.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I was also trying to think of like on a character level, like if you can do like, what are your traits, right? Because let's say it's a four-man team, just to keep it simple, right?
Yeah.
So like, and let's say if you have like, just to think of it this way, like I wrote down fastest, strongest, bravest, smartest, right? Like that would be for, you know, race car drivers. Fastest might be like most skillful, right? Like skill, strength, bravery, smarts.
I like that, by the way. I like a table of superlatives, and then you choose one.
Yes. Like, and then I'm so you're, yeah. you're the strongest one on the team. And then you have essentially skill challenges. Like if you need to do something that might require strength, bravery, smarts, and skill, in which case all four people, yeah. you're like, or again, it's like, you know, like that's going to have a really high challenge rating. And like if your character has a bonus to that, you want them to be part of that action. So it's like it encourages yes. a kind of teamwork, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's fun because it's also like, right, that's like a shorthand for it's like in Armageddon. It's like that guy, Steve Buscemi's character is the smart one because he uses a Rubik's Cube. you know? So yeah, it's like the quick, okay, you have like a table of eight adjectives, you know, and then depending on how many players you have, it's just like nobody can pick the same one. You just each pick one and then you're like that person. It's
or
like,
I'm trying to think if you want to do it as a role or like a choice, but
choice isn't bad for there because it's the same way like you choose like what sort of character you are usually in terms of like, you know, the space one is like, oh, I want to be like a sexy alien. Like I think that's a good thing to give the players a choice because it gives them some agency over the character, and then like the adventure that's happening to them is randomized and that feels like something that's put upon them. Like
okay, so you know what I like about that is you could do, there's one positive thing and one negative thing, right?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that you have to pick one of each, right? It's like in Armageddon when they do the psychological profile on everybody, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you have to pass
your
you have your psychological profile test, right? And so yes, you have your skill, like you have your sort of positive attribute and your negative attribute. And the negative attribute can be like, you know, maverick. It can be, you know, cowardly. It can be, you know, impulsive or whatever you want it to be, right? And each one of those would have like a detrimental thing as well. So then it's like you've got your team essentially, and then you come up with your plan. And I also like, again, like it's tough because it's like I like the relationship thing too. You start to see how these systems all kind of just like, you know, like they can, you kind of get feature creep a little bit, but.
Yeah, because you have a million things. And it's also like, how are we like very role oriented, or is this, you know, much more like, you know, like the fate system is very.
These
loose.
Work better the looser they are and the broader, right? Like, because I'm a big fan of the way fate system classifies this as just like these roles that you do, it's either. It's like it's a success with consequences, or it's a failure, and like that's basically it, right? Those are the only real things when you think about how things stories turn.
Oh, guys, I got it. Actually, this is very fun. Hear me out. Here's what you do. This gives it a little Mad Libs quality. Everyone at the beginning of the game writes down a positive quality and a negative quality.
Nice.
And then you just put those all into a hat. Or like you just, yes. and then you're drawing from the hat what your positive and your negative are. So it's like, it's different every time because it's your group is the ones throwing them in. And then like, it's like, do you know what I mean? And that way we don't have to come up with it. We just ask them to come up with it.
If it's, that's the first thing you do before you know what you're going to be or what you're fighting.
Exactly. Like, yes.
I don't even think you throw in a hat. It's actually fun if everybody picks, because then it's like,
and
everybody
then you
wants
lay them
something.
All out on the table and you've got to pick two. Right.
Yeah.
And then you
yeah,
even do
fun.
Like it could be fun, like a fun employed where it's just a mad dash to grab two of them. It's not even like, well, you need a positive one and a negative one. It's like the, or you take turns grabbing them one by one on the table. Could be kind of,
I just like the idea of like picking, like I'm the fastest, but I'm a coward. And then you guys but you all end up being like the thing that you end up rolling is like, you know, ranch hands are going to stop in asteroids. Like, I guess
yes,
you're the fastest
ranch hand.
Yes,
that's very
hand.
Fun. Okay, yes.
Like,
that's
shit,
really
I should
good.
Pick something better.
That. Another thing you could do is, like, if you want to do the Mad Libs thing, is, like, write a positive emotion, write a negative emotion, write a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick the job based, like, you know, again, if you roll, it's like you roll a D6 to pick, I don't know, maybe it's, I'm just trying to think if we need to supply what the jobs are, or if it's more fun if that's sort of user-generated.
No, I think that's the table.
You do that thing where you're like, you guys write it down. Here's some suggestions from us. And you don't have to do a bunch of them. Because, like, off the top of my head, like, it's like, all right, positive traits, it's like, I think some of them need to be humorous, right? Like some of them you definitely want like sexiest. So it's like, I don't know how this is going to apply in the mission. And then negative traits, you definitely want one like, you know, like imposter. Like you straight up aren't, you know, one of those. And that's the fun of that as well, you know?
Because it's easy thing to start as a GM. It's like, you guys are going to be heroes in a disaster movie. I want you to pick the one heroic trait you want and the one weakness you have. Because, like, that gives them agency over what they want to do. And then I think it's up to the game, in the same way of, like, of Honey Heist. Like, we are going to... Because they're not going to riff on what's the funniest
that's
job
true.
To
yes,
be.
That's fair.
It's like,
that's fair.
Then I think... Then they roll... Then the DM rolls dice, and they get what they're trying to do, stop an asteroid, and who they are, cowboys.
Yes.
And what they've come up with beforehand... only adds and makes it funnier to play, right? If you said you're a cowboy, okay, pick your favorite trait. Like, everybody's going to pick, right? You're going to get the same sort of generic stuff. But here it's fun because it's just like, be something fun and loose at first, and then it interacts in a lot of surprising ways, I think. I like everybody writing on the piece of paper because, yes, once you know you're not necessarily going to be this, people are going to be looser and funnier.
Exactly. But you still might get stuck with it.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously, if you say, what are you going to be? Everybody's going to be like, I'm the most courageous or whatever. But it's like, we're going to pick these and then we're going to randomize them.
Yeah,
you guys are all going to pick them. So, yes, I think picking something heroic and picking something that's a problem. And then, yes, it's like a random hat sort of thing where then you get stuck with those two things. And then, yes, that's like a really quick, organic way for the group to create a bunch of characters.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you got your traits and then the DM rolls for your job and for what the disaster is. Like, I love that. And then, yes, you come up with your... If it's two D6s, it's six jobs, and it's six disasters, right? And that's as you can... Or you roll, come up with your own bespoke disaster, right?
Like, exactly.
It's a very flexible system. Okay, so then, yes, I like that in terms of the structure of it. Then it's like, all right, come up with your mission. And then I think the end of Act 1 is you've got to pitch your mission to the president.
Yes.
And so then there's got to be some sort of, like... I'm trying to think of like what they're like the consequence of that is.
Yes, the pitch to the president. I think what the game master does as the president is then breaks down your pitch. His questions that he asks you gives you the four, like gives you the training that you have to do. It's like, okay, we're going to go around the world. It's like, okay, how are you going to go fast enough? Aren't your tires going to burn out or whatever it is? Like, and then like, can that become four specific things you have to do that become like your training montage?
Okay, so yes, you come up with your plan, you pitch it to the president, and then the president gives you your orders, essentially.
Yes.
Like the like what the four things you need to do before you can go on the mission, right? Like,
yes,
the first thing you need to do is prove to me that you can drive around the world as fast as you say you can, right?
Yeah.
Then you've got to, you know, build a track that will do that, and you've got to do...
That could be fun because it's like, let's, if it was speed racer montage, like you got to build a car from scratch that can withstand 900 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can be a thing depending on how well you do in the training montage. That's the thing that the GM can bring into as you are driving. And it's like, remember, you didn't do very well, so what do you hear? You know, a bolt flies off the car, you know, kind of use...
That's good. I like that. Like how well you do at the thing and the preparation. Like there's a secret there's like a secret complication you don't know about yet. I do think the president being like, before you go on this mission, you're going to need to complete your training, or you're going to need to prepare for it before you're going to get, you know, authorization to go or whatever. You don't want to just be like, all right. And they're like, okay, so then you get into the spaceship and you fly up there, right? Like, it's like, you have to, like, you know.
Yeah, like, what's more fun to me is whatever the training montage is, the ending of it is, but here's the twist. You ran out, there's no money, or the Russians are doing it first or whatever.
I guess maybe instead of thinking of it as being like explicitly like here's the training part and here is the doing it part, like what are just the steps of accomplishing your plan, right?
Yeah, how so do
like
you do it?
So like, yes, right. So like, again, in Armageddon, it's like, all right, we want to fly into space. Like, all right, what do you know about flying a spaceship? Like, you have to get good at learning how to fly a spaceship is like a big part of the thing, right?
Yeah,
like,
it might just be... Training montage might be one step of this whole thing.
Yes,
right?
Like, you know, again, so it's like, yes, in the example of the NASCAR racers that want to restart the Earth's rotation, it's like, okay, so the first thing we're going to need to do is build a road around the world. And then we're going to need to design a fucking race car that can fucking go fast enough or whatever. And then you, or I don't know, is that getting too processy? I'm trying to think of like...
That's not too processy. It might be like you do like three separate things.
Okay, just like to keep it general, right? It's like all right, you have to do three tasks to like let's break that down into three steps, right?
Build, train, launch.
Oh, that's fun. I like that. You're gonna have to build something, you're gonna have to train at something, and then you're gonna have to launch the mission, right? Like they're
And then each of those, it's like build, right? Like, I get it. Moon crashing Earth. You have to build something to get into space.
Mm-hmm.
Every volcano erupting. We have to build a big machine to do, you know, to drill into the Earth or whatever, right? Like, I get build. Train is like, all right, now we got to learn how to use it. And then it's like, there's the stuff that happens around that. And then in all three of those, I can see there's a GM thrown complication. You build it, but it's made out of it was farmed to the lowest common bidder, whatever you come up with there. You train, but somebody is, there's a, you know, relationship thing or what have you. You launch, but something breaks, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, you would want to have, then, yes, there's complications going into the thing.
When you do game mechanics, one of the things we learned because we were trying to do this with a board game once is, like, you do it really simple, and then you test it, and then you change one thing, and then you test it again for a long time and change one thing. Like, you made it three things instead of two things. I'm not sure if, like, build is always, like, sure, you're not going to build...
prepare and then go. Set up and then
go. It's a setup, and like again, the GM has to do a lot. Like we did play that space one. It's not like the GM's also there forcing the story to go along to a degree. Mm-hmm. So the idea of like you pitch the plan and then you got to come up with what the plan is and how you're going to do it. Like whether it's building, if it's going to the center of the earth, or you got to build a road, the GM is going to have to be like, you guys aren't fast enough. How are you going to do that? Okay, in order to do that, you're going to have to build a car. If you guys are cowboys and you say you're going to
train a bunch of horses to do it,
maybe you have your planning, right, generally speaking, and your mission. And mm-hmm. just hear me, because the other part of this is time, right? It's like the asteroid is hurtling towards the Earth. In 24 hours, all the volcanoes on Earth are going to erupt, right? Like there's X, Y, and Z thing. So like maybe you give the players the opportunity to like in preparation, it's like, okay, what do you guys want to do to prepare, right? And so like, well, mm-hmm. we want to build this sweet rocket. We want to, you know, do this. We want to train to get really good at it. We want to do this, 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 that, and the other, right? And then maybe you do something where it's like, the more things you do, like every time you decide, like, we're going to try to do this task to train for the mission, like if it goes well, you get a bonus. If it goes poorly, you get a consequence, right? And then there's like a risk reward element to that. It's like in Dungeons and Daddies with like the D20 nunchuck mechanic, right? Where it's like the more you flourish the nunchucks, the higher your bonus gets, but the bigger the peril of hitting yourself in the nuts is. It's like, is there like something like that where you can do like, we're running out of time, it's time to go, right? Like we gotta fucking launch this thing whether we're ready or not. Like,
okay, the more you train, I'm not quite sure what the mechanic is, but I think what Will's getting at, which I think can work, is the more you train, whatever the currency is like, the more you train, like, you know you're probably going to need 6 hero points to get through the mission. Like, like there's some sort of thing. And every time you do something in training, it's a chance to get a hero point. But it's also a chance to get a complication.
Yes.
Like, somebody breaks their leg. Or, yes, some can be mental. Like, somebody's wife breaks up with them and now they don't have confidence. Whatever you want to do, we could get into it. Like,
yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
So, like, at some point, and I think it's up to the GM, like, there's only so many actions you can take or whatever it is, or once you've gotten 4 complications it's over or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so right, so it's like then you're coming into the mission with some set of hero points or whatever it is that's going to they act like inspiration or whatever.
Oh, okay.
You also are gonna have all these complications.
Okay, here's what I would say, just to hear me out. You would do, it's about hit points essentially in your mission, right?
Yeah, there's like
here's what I would say in the training, right? If you accomplish training stuff, you get a hit point, right? Like you get, and let's say that it's like once we get to the mission, like it's a series of skill challenges, right? Everyone's going to have to do some skill challenges to get through the mission. So you have hit points and then you have your skill dice, which affects your rolls and affects your ability to succeed at skill challenges. So if you succeed in a training thing, you get extra hit points. If you fail in a training thing, you get negatives on your skill dice. Which represents essentially going into the mission. You've got issues now because like of what your wife divorced you, right? So now that affects your roles in the mission. So yeah, then going into the mission, like you can have a ton of skill points, but it's getting harder because your dice rolls might not be as good.
And yes, if you guys ever all die there's something that's tracking your success. So you're balancing between the skills and the overall success of the mission.
Exactly. And then if you lose all your hit points, you're going to die, right? And the mission fails or whatever. Something like that.
Okay.
This is a game that has an explicit pass-fail state, which is kind of cool because I think a lot of these games don't do that. They just keep it so open-ended that you can't ever really fail. Well, I guess you can in like the space
in all the Grand Howitt ones because all the birds can die and hunt in Witch is Dead. Like you can definitely always fail. So okay. I like that. That's cool. I like that. So then I think you would do that. You get to the mission, right? And again, I just keep thinking of Armageddon, like it's a series of skill challenges that probably necessitate you guys to work together, right?
Yeah. You can help out someone on each one of those. It's like,
Yes, and the GM's going to throw things that happen at you, and then you're going to have to use the skills you've acquired and hopefully, you know, succeed in before.
And I guess, is that just like, what are those challenges? It's like, again, how do you have, because you
be
also
on the,
have to figure out, how are you helping the DM, right? The DM's also a player, right? Like you need to like, your system has to have prompts for the DM to figure this shit out. And that's what I kind of don't get.
Before the mission, the game master knows what you're doing, because that was rolled for him, that your cowboy is going to stop an asteroid. Mm-hmm. And then you've prepared and together came up with a story of how you're going to do that. So you've already come up with, you're building a spaceship with a bunch of cowboys, and you discovered a race of on the asteroid, there's a bunch of horse-like creatures, and you're going to ride them into the center of the asteroid with a bomb. So, like, that's what you've come up with. So the GM has a lot of information. Like, he has plenty. He has more than, like, he will have, like, they don't listen.
Okay,
the horses don't listen to you.
Because
like,
you're right. Because you're right. Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say is that when you pitch the plan to the president, it's, okay, here's how we're going to do it, right? We're going to fly a spaceship. We're going to land it on the moon. We're going to drill a bomb into the core, and then we're going to detonate the bomb and fly back, right? Like, those are the different steps of the plan. And so then essentially the DM knows, got it. Those are the four things you're going to do on the mission, right? Like, that's once we start the mission, and then each one of those is going to be a skill challenge, right? Like, each one of those is going to be a thing that you either succeed or fail, and it can go spin out into a bunch of different crazy ways.
Yes.
The training is not have anything to necessarily do with that mission. The training is like, okay, now you're going to try to buff yourselves up for the mission, basically.
Yes.
Okay, great.
The number of steps you have to come up with needs to equal the number of players.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
So that you can do it. You land. Uh-oh, the horses, they kill one of the players. You play, don't want to close my eyes. And now you play the heroic death scene of that player, but then you continue because there's still... You will still always have enough until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what could be fun? Okay, here's what you could do, too, is that, again, you have hit points, right? I wonder if you do, like the group takes damage collectively with hit points, but then you have to decide who individually you're going to lose those hit points from, right? Which gives you like a fun team dynamic where you can be like, if someone fucked up the role, everyone can be like, all right, he's going to die. Or you can have like someone nobly sacrice themselves for the group.
Yeah, I would say,
I don't know
if you track individual hit points, you would do...
I mean, just do two.
It's sacrifice. If you die, that takes a lot of hit points from the team because it's the morale and everything. But that might be the only way to pass, right? That's the fun kind of...
Yeah,
it's worth my heroic
challenge.
Like, we have 8 whatever mission points left or whatever it is. A death of a character is -4 points, but like if I do this, we're definitely passing this thing. So it's worth it.
I think I've got the mechanic. Okay. So you go into your mission with your base hit points, which is everyone has 2 hit points, like everyone on the team, right?
Yeah.
So it's a 5-man team. You've got 10 hit points there, plus all of the extra hit points you got from training. So let's say you got another 5 hit points from training. You're now going in with 15 hit points. The mission, each one of the objectives that you're trying to go against is X number of points that you have to beat. And you do that by rolling your dice and then adding whatever hit points you need to hit that number, essentially. So then like in those hit points are either coming from the stuff you got from training, but you quickly burn through that. And then people have to start sacrificing their own hit points to accomplish the mission objective. So then one by one, people start dying as the mission goes on until you get to the last thing.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun, right? Because then it's like that. It's that sacrifice thing. It's you got to work together as a team, but it's going to mean because inevitably you're going to have to figure out the math to weight it so that like even if you ace it in training, you're going to have to like make some tough choices and your roles are going to fuck up.
Yeah. Like a best case scenario should be that everyone is injured or something, but they all come home. And then at the very end, it's like they accomplish it, but everyone dies on the mission.
Yeah, like, well, because it's great because you could do like, again, like if you're like, all right, now we've got to do our role for like, again, we need to drill into the center of the asteroid. Right. And then you do like, all right, drilling into the center of the asteroid is like a really hard skill. So you're going to need to get 20 points. Right. So you guys roll your dice and you only wind up with like 5 points. It's like, oh, fuck. People are going to have to start burning their hit points to meet it. And then that's a fun thing to role play, too. Like one person's like, OK, the drill bit got stuck. I'm going to reach in with my hand to uncork it and then my hand gets ripped off. Like that kind of shit. Do you know what I mean?
Mechanics are rough. We'd have to play test and whatnot, but I think that's a good idea for a one shot. I think we got some good mechanic
ideas in
there.
It's not all in space, so what's the name of it?
I still like All the Astronauts Are Dead.
Yeah, I think it evokes the
you could
sort
do
of
like
feel.
Or what's a parody of what's Armageddon, but another word for Armageddon? Like extinction.
Cataclysm.
Extinction
event.
Eradication. But you wanted to have that pulpy, like, fun to it.
You can't teach a blank.
Just call it Disaster Jocks.
Disaster jocks.
Yeah, that's great.
Sure,
it's just like you're, and then
jocks.
So yeah, you're jocks, right? So it's like all jock jobs, like it's all jock stuff. Yeah. Like, unless you're a stunt team or you're, you know, fishermen that, you know, like those lobster guys from Deadliest Catch, right? Like,
oh,
it's like,
Deadliest
by the way,
Catch
that's
guys
explicitly
would be
what it is in the text. It is those lobster guys from Deadliest Catch.
Disaster jocks is a fun energy, too. And then they themselves are disaster people, right? Like, they're all a hot mess. So, like, yeah.
Yes. Perfect. Oh, perfect title. Will, once again.
Dang.
The greatest skill Will Campos has.
Disaster
from downtown.
That's pretty good.
That's got a good ring on it. Yeah.
Ooh. Man, I kind of like this system. It sounds like fun.
All right. So obviously Disaster Jocks isn't a fully baked system ready to play right now. There's a lot of testing we got to do, but we're going to chew on this. I think it's a lot of fun. We hope you've enjoyed the process of coming up with it. And we do look forward to hearing from you because I know that you're sitting out there probably listening and being like, ooh, what about this? Or what about that? I'm sure some of you have some amazing ideas. Can't wait to hear them. You can find us at RJ Story Break. Love to hear from you. Thank you again to Roll. Head on over to playrole.com/storybreak. Get on that Kickstarter. There's still time. They're successful. It's going through. You can get on that train too. That train to success town. Still time. playrole.com/storybreak. Thank you for sponsoring this special episode of Story Break. Thank you as always to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. So until next time, my name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Stuntman Will.
And I'm Jock. Matt Jock. Jock Matt. I'm Matt Jock.
Jock Dad.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.